From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information starting from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, let's begin with the news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id, and RRI Playgo mobile app.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Vice President Ma'ruf Amin affirms government officials must abide by national laws. Minister of Trade Zulkifli Hasan states G20 Trade Investment and Industry Ministerial Meeting yields concrete result. Now the news in detail. Everyone is equal before the law, and all residents and officials must abide by the national laws even if they have been named suspects in criminal cases. This was affirmed by Vice President Ma'ruf Amin in reference to the ongoing legal action against Governor of Papua Lukas NMB on Friday, September the 23rd, as quoted by Antara. He further explained that everyone must abide by the law enforcement, which becomes commitment as a law-abiding nation. The Corruption Eradication Commission has summoned NMB, who has been named as a suspect of a corruption case, for questioning next Monday, September the 26th, since he failed to respond to an earlier summon of the commission on last Monday due to illness. Indonesian Minister of Trade Zulkifli Hasan listed several achievements in the trade sector that were formulated by the G20 Trade Investment and Industry Ministerial Meeting. First, regarding the reform of the World Trade Organization, WTO, the G20 countries emphasized the importance of improving the basic principles of the WTO and agreed that its reform is the key to reinforcing trust in the multilateral trading system. This was pointed out by Minister Hasan in Nusa Dua, Bali on Friday, September the 23rd, as quoted by Antara. He further said that the member countries were also committed to seizing the positive momentum arising from the result of the 12th Ministerial Conference last year to engage in active and constructive discussions toward the next iteration. Indonesian Minister of Trade Zulkifli Hasan met Canadian Minister of Trade, Small Business Export Promotion and International Trade Marie Ng in Nusa Dua, Bali to discuss strengthening trade relations between the two countries. As reported by Antara, the meeting was related to the framework of the Indonesia-Canada Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, on which the third round of negotiation will be held virtually from October the 31st to November the 4th. Minister Hasan also informed in Bali on Friday that the meeting was productive and both parties showed the flexibility to find common ground on various issues. Several working groups will hold an intersession before the third round of negotiation to speed up the progress of the negotiations. The Indonesian Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy, in collaborating with the government of Fiji Islands, are to develop a quality and sustainable tourism sector that can improve the economy and open employment opportunities. As reported by Antara, a memorandum of understanding on the cooperation was linked by Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Sandiaga Salahuddin Uno along with his Fiji Island counterpart Fayaz Sidikoya on the sidelines of the second meeting of the G20 Tourism Working Group on Friday. The meeting is one of the working groups organized under the Sherpa track to encourage G20 countries to expedite the recovery of international tourism. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. A country of fertile, densely populated deltas, low-lying Bangladesh is among the most vulnerable nations in the world to climate change. As reported by channelsnewsasia.com, on September the 24th, Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina, on a visit to New York for the United Nations General Assembly, conveyed that the urgency of the situation is not being matched by action of countries responsible for emissions. She also said, "They don't act. They can talk, but they don't act." She further said, "The rich countries, the developed countries, this is their responsibility. They should come forward." Young activists railed for climate action on Friday, September the 23rd, staging protests from New Zealand and Japan to Germany and the Democratic Republic of Congo to demand that rich countries pay for the damage that global warming is inflicting upon the poor. As reported by channelnewsasia.com, the protests take place 6 weeks before this year's UN Climate Summit, known as COP27, where vulnerable countries plan to push for compensation for climate-related destruction to homes, infrastructure, and livelihoods. Demonstrations were planned in around 450 locations worldwide by Youth Movement Fridays for Future. They are timed to coincide with global leaders' meeting in New York City at the UN General Assembly. Vladimir Putin's partial mobilization of citizens for his war in Ukraine has already set in motion sweeping changes for many Russians, as drafted men bid their families emotional goodbyes while others attempt to flee, scrambling to make it across land border crossing or buy air tickets out. As reported by CNN.com, today, for many of those leaving, the reason is the same: to avoid being drafted into Putin's brutal and faltering assault on neighboring Ukraine. But the circumstances surrounding their decisions and the difficulties of leaving home are deeply personal to each. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The first news comes from Central Maluku, Maluku Province. thousands of residents of Maluku Province and its surroundings conducted the Safar bathing tradition in Leihitu District, Central Maluku Regency, which is routinely held every last Wednesday in the month of Safar in Islamic calendar. Thousands of residents, both men and women, young and old, as well as those from villages around or even from the city of Ambon, participated and went down to the beach doing this Safar bath. One of them is in Hitulama village, Central Maluku. Community leader or Raja Upu Negeri Hitu, Sailhana Peliu, in the country yard of King Helio's house in Central Maluku on Wednesday, September 21st, said self-cleaning in the month of Safar is believed to bring blessings and avoid a danger. The next news comes from Yogyakarta. A number of students from Gajah Mada University, Yogyakarta, developed a fish freshness detection feature to make it easier for people to get fresh fishery products. A student from the University Vocational School, Apriliana, through a written statement in Yogyakarta on Wednesday, explained the fish freshness detection feature is part of the e-commerce platform Fishku, which connects consumers and fishermen. According to Nabila, Fishku is an e-commerce platform in the form of a web and application developed to facilitate the sale of fishery products while making it easier for consumers to get fresh fishery products. The latest news comes from Makassar, South Sulawesi. Songkok Bone, the traditional headgear from Bone as part of the handicraft in South Sulawesi, became a recipient of the World Craft Council or WCC Award of Excellence for Handicraft of Asia-Pacific Region 2022. The award certificate was handed over at the opening of the Nusa Craft Exhibition by Mrs. Iriana Joko Widodo at the Perfunction Hall AGCC Jakarta on Wednesday. Chairman of the Regional National Craft Council of South Sulawesi, Naomi Oktarina, who received the award, said she was proud and grateful that one of the handicraft products of South Sulawesi has succeeded in getting recognition throughout the Asia-Pacific. She hopes in the future there will be other products that will follow Songkok Bone. Moreover, South Sulawesi has rich culture and products that are not inferior to other provinces and countries in Indonesia. Well, that was news from across Indonesia.
VOI International Quiz 2022 is back! 8 winners will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. Get ready! Who knows, you may be one of the winners of VOI International Quiz 2022.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with the event of September 24, 1960 about National Farmers' Day. National Farmers' Day is commemorated every September 24 by farmers across Indonesia. September 24 is stipulated as a reminder that at that date, in 1960, the President of the Republic of Indonesia, Sukarno, enacted Law No. 5, 1960, concerning basic regulations on agrarian principles. Let's move to another event on September 24, 1973, about the Declaration of Independence of Guinea-Bissau. The Republic of Guinea-Bissau is a country located in West Africa. Guinea-Bissau was once part of the Kingdom of Kabu, which was part of the Mali Empire. part of this kingdom survived into the 18th century, while some other parts were part of the Portuguese Empire. Guinea-Bissau declared its independence from Portugal on September 24, 1973. However, it was only recognized by Portugal and the world on September 10, 1974. The name of the capital, Bissau, was added to the name of the country to avoid confusion with the country of Guinea. We end today in history with the event of September 24, 1999 about Semanggi II tragedy. Yun Hap, an Indonesian university student, was shot dead. The Semanggi II tragedy occurred on September 24, 1999, which resulted in the death of a student, Yap Yun Hap. At that time, the transitional government intended to issue a danger act whose material, according to many people, gave the military a lot of flexibility to handle state conditions according to military interests. Therefore, the university students jointly demonstrated in large numbers to oppose the implementation of the PKB law. One student of the University of Indonesia, Yun Hap, died of gunshot wounds in front of Atmajaya University in Jakarta. Well, listener, that was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chaku yo shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegi mashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
Rang zhen que pei tai kou zhao, yi fang chi xin xing guang zhuang bing du fei yan de chuan bo. Wo de kou zhao bao hu ni. 你的口罩保护我
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overdragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19. En portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19-Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Tersenyumlah Indonesiaku.
Jauh masa depan, kelak suatu hari ku akan menjadi cahaya bagi Indonesia. Ayolah kawan, bersama kita akan harumi Indo.
Ku
Indonesiaku. Untukmu nantiku masa depan yang indah bersamamu.
Still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, the next segment is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia Today is entitled Oil and Gas Industry Remains Strategic for Indonesia's Economic Development. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs and Investment, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, said the oil and gas industry remains strategic for Indonesia's economic development. According to him, the role of the oil and gas industry is even more significant because Indonesia supports the Paris Agreement to achieve net zero emissions by 2050 or earlier. This is done by providing much-needed clean energy, which helps the transition to more renewable energy in the energy mix. Quoting Kontan.co.id on Thursday at the opening ceremony of the 46th Indonesian Petroleum Association Convention and Exhibition, IPA Convex 2022, Wednesday, September the 21st, Minister Luhut explained to achieve net zero emission was not an easy task for the Indonesian government because it had to maintain economic growth. At the same time, it would require abundant energy sources, which is affordable and reliable. He said that Indonesia was still very attractive to investors because Indonesia's growth during the last three quarters was more than 5%, even though the conflict occurred in Ukraine and the world was still not recovering from the pandemic. For that, he appreciated all parties, including the oil and gas industry, who had supported this achievement. Furthermore, Minister Luhut said, one thing for sure is that people want to invest in Indonesia. He explained, with Indonesia's economic growth remaining positive, energy availability and security are more important than ever to support Indonesia's growth. The Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs and Investment also appreciates the oil and gas industry, which has discovered various new oil and gas fields, such as Premier Oil, which recently discovered a new gas field off the coast at Aceh. Then, Pertamina Hulu Rokan completed more than 350 new wells within 1 year after the acquisition from ExxonMobil Cepu Block to drill more clastic and infill wells. Minister Luhut hopes that these findings will attract investors to invest in Indonesia, adding that the world should know how interesting and easy doing business in Indonesia. According to him, the entry of investor will not benefit the Indonesian people through technology transfer and capacity building, but also provide good returns for investors. Well, that was My Indonesia Today.
It's once in a lifetime. I'm so tired of frowning. You're no healer. You think that I need you. You can't keep me from falling. I'm too scared to admit it.
anymore.
International Quiz 2022 is back. 8 winners will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. Get ready. Who knows? You may be one of the winners of VOI International Quiz 2022.
This is Voice of Indonesia, the overseas broadcasting service of Radio Republik Indonesia. Now we present you Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, for you who are lovers of coffee and want to taste coffee in another form, so please drink one of the typical West Sumatran beverages, namely Ayakawa, that must be tried. Ayakawa is one of the typical beverages of Ranah Minang made from selected local coffee leaves. If coffee drinks usually come from coffee beans, then Ayakawa comes from processed coffee leaves which will later be brewed by using hot water. Listener, the method of brewing Ayakawa is similar to brewing tea. The coffee leaves are dried first by roasting, placed on the fireplace until the coffee leaves dry for approximately 12 hours. After that, the dried leaves are kneaded to be small pieces like tea leaves. Then the coffee leaves are mixed with water, which is then boiled in a container until the water boils. Another uniqueness of Ayakawa is the use of coconut shells as a substitute for glass and also pieces of bamboo that will become the mat from the coconut shells. As a sweetener, this Ayakawa can be added with granulated sugar or brown sugar. It will taste more delicious when it is accompanied by a piece of bika cake, a type of wet cake made from rice flour mixed with young coconut and sugar. Listener, kawa comes from the Arabic word kahwa, which means coffee, while aya in West Sumatran society means water. Because it is too difficult to pronounce kahwa, then to make it easier for the people of West Sumatra, they call it kawa, and because the basic ingredients are leaves, it is called kawa daun. Therefore, aya kawa daun means coffee leaf water. Listener, why is the kawi leaf? According to the story, this beverage has existed during the Dutch colonial period. At the time, indigenous people in West Sumatra who had grown coffee were prohibited from enjoying coffee drinks made from coffee beans. Since the result of coffee beans at the time were used for trade purposes and market outside Indonesia, drinking coffee at the time had its own pride. The habit of drinking coffee symbolized the classy people of that era. Finally, because there was no coffee, the indigenous people replaced it with coffee leaves. Listener, if you visit West Sumatra, please manage your time to taste aya kawa. That's the Indonesian Wonder for today's edition. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Have a nice day!
Cinta yang terindah untukmu, ku
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, here is miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occur in Indonesia.
When you hear the name Jakarta, the capital city of Indonesia, what most people think of is a densely populated capital city with the hustle and bustle of high life mobility. It is undeniable that in some parts there are things that cannot be separated from Jakarta, from traffic jams to pollution. But who would have thought that Jakarta is included in the top 20 big cities with the highest healthy lifestyle in the world? This ranking was obtained after going through an assessment by a research institute, YouGov, which is based in the United Kingdom. In the process, there are a number of indicators for assessment ranging from happiness level, outdoor activities, and many more. This assessment study was conducted on 44 cities around the world. A city with a healthy lifestyle means a city that enables the community or its residents to be fully supported to live a healthy lifestyle as a whole. There are about 10 indicators that are used as an assessment, including the influence of pollution levels, environmental conditions, lifestyle choices, hours of sunshine, level of happiness, facilities for outdoor activities, monthly fitness center subscription fee, and many others. From the assessment of the YouGov Research Institute, Jakarta is ranked 17 below Toronto and Madrid, which are ranked 15 and 16. Meanwhile, the same position also makes Jakarta outperform several cities in other developed countries, such as Seoul, Los Angeles, Boston, Tokyo, Paris, London, and New York. There are several assessment indicators that, if seen, make Jakarta more attractive and superior to other cities. For example, the obesity rate in Jakarta is relatively low, which is 6.9%, with a life expectancy of 68.5 years. In terms of health facilities, Jakarta is also recorded as having 114 outdoor activities that can be used by the community. In addition, there are as many as 833 places that can be visited by the public to carry out outdoor activities. Meanwhile, in terms of the cost of using the services of a health facility or gym, the membership fee in Jakarta seems to be cheaper than other cities like Madrid or Seoul. Well, listener, that was miscellany from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
VOI International Quiz 2022 is back! 8 winners will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. Get ready! Who knows? You may be one of the winners of VOI International Quiz 2022.
Makin berbeda getarannya.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku o chaku yo shite COVID-19 no kansen kakudai o fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata o mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom het ketting overdragen van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
are still listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World, 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hi VOI listener, in today's edition of Music Corner, I'm going to present the original keroncong song entitled Yang Terdalam, beautifully presented by Music Story 97. Yang Terdalam is the 8th song from Peter Pan's first album, Taman Langit, in 2003. This song was written by Nazril Irham, or better known as Ariel. Ariel said he wrote the song Yang Terdalam while he was still in high school around 1998. Ariel initially called Yang Terdalam just a trial song, but his friends like it. This encouraged Ariel to try to make new songs. This song is unique because it does not have a refrain or chorus. The song Yang Terdalam, which means the deepest, tells about a person who has deep and sincere feelings for his lover. Unfortunately, it seems that he has to forget his feelings because his loved one doesn't give him a chance. Alright listener, this is Music Story 97 with the keroncong song Yang Terdalam. Happy listening!
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, it's time for me to sign out now. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id and RRI Playgo mobile app. Don't forget to check our social media accounts, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, VOI Indonesia, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, VOI Indonesia. I'm Rahmawati signing out. See you in the next English program.